This presentation is brought to you by iAwaken.org, a not-for-profit organization. We hope you enjoy the presentation. Please observe the copyright terms to which you have agreed.
So we left off last week with the kasha of the Gemara, Hochamai. What is the kasha? Atul Dasem ki Yitzeh Behem, Alav ki Yitzeh Behem. We learned pshat in the Rif and the Rosh. What the Havamina Atul Dasem should be Lav ki Yitzeh Behem is, explains the Rosh, since we have a precedent that even in the Av itself you find a distinction between Muad and Tam, two different types of Tashlumin, Kol Shein, that between an Av and a Toldo, you could find two different types of Tashlumin, and still that would be considered the Toldo of a particular Av, not a Toldo in generality. That's how we explained it there. Rashi learns differently. Rashi learns that the Kash of the Gemara is, are the Toldos Chayev Edel? In other words, what is the Mechayev? We learned in the Tosfos, on the Mishnah, we learned that each Av has a different Goyrem for the Chiyuv. If it is that particular goyrem the mechayev, and where the goyrem is absent, the toldo will not be chayev at all? Or do we say, no, there's a general chiyuv nezikin, there's a general chiyuv for all forms of damage. Those differentiations between the ovos are merely to distinguish the particular halachas of each av, such as distinctions between av and muad, and rishus harabim, and rishus hayochid, and hefker and not hefker, all the different dinim of each of the ovos nezikin. But the Havamin is that if Tol the same is Lavki Yitzeh Bohen, they will be put all together, because there will be an absence of the Mechayev. Omar Rav Popa, Yesh Mehem Ki Yitzeh Bohen, V'yesh Mehem Lavki Yitzeh Bohen. Says Rav Popa, some are like them, and some are unlike them. The Zikin is an exception in that the concept of Toldos, there are two concepts of Toldos, there are two different types of Toldos. Says Rashi, Yeshmen ulekamun mefarish milted Rav Popa b'shmaisin, and the whole of the coming sugya is an analysis of Rav Popa. That's Rashi introduces us to what the sugya is going to do now. Tanu Rabban, we learn in a brisa, and we need to just see the Tosfos here on the right hand side. Tanu Rabban and Sholosh Ovis, hifsik b'vraisa zu lefarish told the same lav ki yitzim em dekom Rav Popa ahei. Tosfos is saying the same as Rashi, but just expanding a little bit. The Gemara is matzik now with this brisa, in order to analyze the toldos which are lav ki yitzeh bohem, which Rav Popa mentioned. Which are they? What toldos? The toldos of what? Of which are lav ki yitzeh bohem? So in order to do that, we have to start right at the beginning. What are the ovos? What are the toldos of each ovos? Which toldo resembles which av, and which toldo doesn't resemble each av? There's no other way to do it but to start right at the beginning and go right through, which is what the Gemara now does. Tanu Rabban. Gimel ovos ne'emru b'shoir. There are three ovos which are stated in the case of shoir. Shoir is not one av. The shoir is three. There are three ovos. Hakeren, v'hashein, v'haregen. Those are the three ovos nezikin, says Rashi. Hakeren lingoach, the horn to go. Hashein leachol, the tooth to eat. Regel driso lishmeres hakelim. Regel is trampling to break vessels, to break utensils. Now you'll notice that Rashi doesn't say hakeren negicha, using the noun. Hashein achilo. Regel driso, he does it for regel. Regel, he says driso, he uses the noun. But in the case of keren and shein, he uses the verb. The infinitive, akeren, lingoach, to go. Hashein, leachol, to eat. Regel driso, lishbur, is akerim. Why that distinction? So Rashi is telling us here that the keren was created in the ox for the purpose of going. That's why it's an av melochim. That's why it's an av nezikin. That's how the ox was made. He's meant to go with his horn, and you're meant to know that, and therefore you're meant to look after him properly. Hakirin in Gach and Hashem Lechel, you know that he's going to eat wherever he is. That's what he's got teeth for. So by looking at him, you understand the nature of his danger. And Regel is not Lidros. The ox wasn't given a foot to be Doyres with. He was given a foot to walk with, and walking is not a Nezek. So it can't say Regel Lidros. So he says Regel is Drisel. And his drisa, why does he trample? He tramples to break kelim. That's why he tramples. And in this Rashi, we actually have the foundation of nezikin in general. You've got to analyze your property to understand what about it could be dangerous and take measures to avoid that cause of danger from harming. That's what you've got to do. So you've got, if you've got a goldfish pond, you've got to make a fence around a swimming pool, you've got to make a fence around it. If you've got a dog, he's got shinayim linshoich, he's got teeth to bite. That's what he was given teeth for. You've got to look at your dog, and you'd ask him, doesn't say sweet, 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 he couldn't harm anybody, cute as anything, let him walk around. No, look at him and see he's got teeth. And you've got to ask yourself, why did the Ribbono Shel Olam give your dog teeth? That your dog's a shlumil and doesn't know what to do with his teeth, that doesn't make him oist dog. The reason is, the fact is that he was given teeth by the Ribbono Shel Olam to bite. And therefore, you've got to take measures to make sure that he doesn't bite people he's not meant to bite. That he doesn't know who to bite and who not. So you've either got to train him, or you've got to, of an ox, teeth of a dog is to bite. Different kind of teeth. Yeah, that's his defense. In fact, a dog doesn't use his teeth when he eats. A dog swallows. Yeah. His teeth are for biting, not for eating. He uses his back teeth. That's my English. With his side. You watch how the dog eats. He uses his side teeth. From the side. Not his front teeth. So what are his front teeth for? The sharp ones? It's to bite you. That's what they're there for. And he's not sweet. He's not cute. No dog is cute. Dogs are vicious. That is their nature. And you as a balabos have to know that the dog is vicious. And the only heter really to have a dog is because he's vicious. That's why you have a dog. Maybe sometimes you need a kill of rails. Ask the Gemara, Keren Minalon. How do we know Keren? That's the Gemara asking. Why does it say Kirin? Right. Very good. The Tanur Rabbanon, Ki Yigach. You're right. It doesn't say Kirin in the Torah. The word Kirin does not appear in the Torah. It says Ki Yigach. A Negicha Ela B'Kirin. A Negicha is with a Kirin. That Ki Yigach means if an ox should go with his home. That's how you're going to translate the word Negicha. A Negicha Ela B'Kirin. Doesn't say Negicha is B'Kirin. It says A Negicha Ela B'Kirin. The only form of Negicha is with a Kirin. And therefore, the correct way to translate that Ki Yigach Shur Ish has to be translated, should the ox of a man go with his home? How do we know that Ein Negicha Ela Bekeren, Shenemar, as it says, Vayas Lo Tzidkiyo Ben Kanano Karne Barzel, Tzidkiyo Ben Kanano made horns of iron, Vayumir, and as an image, he said, Koy Omar Hashem, so said Hashem, Be'ele Tenagaches Aram. With these you will go Aram. And the Torah itself says in Dvarim, the firstborn of his ox is glorious to him, and his horns are the horns of a ram, or a, I don't know what does Transina call it? Ra'im, a wild ox. A unicorn. It's a kudu. Isn't it? Ra'im is like a kudu, something with very beautiful horns, with a very beautiful kane ra'im karnov. Bohem amim yenagach. With them he will go nations. Says Rashi, ba'ema tanagach esaram. Bohem amim yenagach. Alma negicha bekirin. So you see negicha is bekirin. What's Rashi telling you? The Gemara brought this to teach us that it's Negicha Bekeren. That's why she's saying Alma Negicha Bekeren.
His Rashi's not saying anything. Well, firstly, Rashi doesn't say Alma in Negicha Bekirin, Ela Bekirin. Rashi just says Alma Negicha Bekirin. So you see that Negicha is Bekirin. He doesn't say Ein Negicha Ela Bekirin, which is strange. Secondly, Rashi is explaining the use of the word Be'ele. The limud is from Be'ele and Behim. It doesn't just say Vayasli Tzidkiyo Bekana Kana Be'ezo Vayomer Tanaga Chesara. You will go Aram. Does he mean that Yisrael is really going to use those horns? Of course not. It's only an image. So why does he say Be'ele then? That's the question. If they were really going to use the horns that he made, then good. Be'ele, this is what you'll use. But they're not. It's just an image. So it's not Be'ele. You should just say, look at these horns. Tanagach Nagom Goy Go Aram. Be'ele Tanagach is Aram. What does that mean? That's a limit, that's a special limit to teach you that going is with karaim. He made the karaim to show what going is, that you use horns. And so, Bohem Amin Tanagach, Yanagach, that Hashem will go the nations. How will Hashem go the nations? With the horns. With horns, no? So what's Bohem? Bohem to teach you that Nigain Nigicha will be killed. Ask the Gemara, my Vahimer, why do I need the second posuk from the Torah? Because that's the lesson. Yeah, we're analyzing the lesson of the Brisa. That would be the second kasha if it's always the second kasha. The first thing is my Ba'omer. Why the second one? The derech of the Gemara is always my Ba'omer. You bring the first one, which means that's your main proof, and you bring the Ba'omer because you have a difficulty on the first proof. So let's understand the Brisa first.
The way you see that the derech of the Gemara is the second one is it seems to be superfluous, and then it has to go through the limit to work out why it is. And the whole limit is based on the fact that one is from Erwan's from Tabola. Why does Moshe mean it? Why do you need a posuk from Sudim?
Because you see from the Brisa that for some reason which we don't yet know, the posuk from Tanakh is essential. Then we see from the structure, otherwise we would have first brought the posuk from Chumash. So we see that it's essential. Why it's essential, we'll find out still.
Wouldn't that be a logical
question? No, the first thing is to ask, it's good. Let's say it's essential. But why do you need another one? We have to still ask, why do you need that one? But why according to you, if you hold for whatever reason that the Ikar Limud is from Elohim, why do you need the Torah?
From the last thing, you know the relationship that you should
be. How do you learn that from Chumash? How would you learn that from the second posuk?
Well, you learn there's no reason to say the Eile and so on. And
well, then you do. Then you would learn it from Elohim alone. Then you don't need. Then you don't need the Hadra Kushi Luduchta then, because they have that limit is in both the Eile and Bohem. So then you could learn it there. But Eile Tanaga Chesaram, that would be sufficient to teach it. So what do we need for him? Now you'll say that you can't learn Doraisas from Tanakh. Toshma b'chol shoyre hadaloi. And that's why we have to bring a posuk from Chumash to say that it's in Chumash itself. The high melefu? Is this a limud? Gilui milta be'almu. This is not a limud. This is only gilui milta. The negicha bekerenu. That negicha is bekeren. It's a fact which is being revealed. Yeah, okay. We'll come to the answer in a time. We still have to deal with that. That hasn't yet been dealt with. As to why, when we'll establish what the role of the second posuk is, then we will have to say, now that we've got that, we understand that role, what do you need the first one for? In the first year, I spent a little bit of time on showing the Gemara's differentiation between Melech and Gilui Milta. In English, we use the same term for both. They're both Libudim. But in Torah it isn't. To be megala is something which is a lack of knowledge, poshut. To tell you something you didn't know, that's not called a limud. A limud is only when there's chidush. If there's no chidush in what one tells you, then there is no limud in it. To reveal information is not called learning. To acquire information is not called limud. That's gilui milta be'alma. Sorry? Yeah, it's good. What does gilui milta be'alma mean? You simply remove the barrier to the vision. You can't see it. Why can't you see it? Because there's a curtain in front of it. So open the curtain, now you can see it. Is that called? Have I taught you anything? There's no teaching. All I've done is I've removed an obstacle. That's not called Yalfinun. That's not called Yalfuso. That's not called Limud. That's Gilui Milse Balman. One has to be Mavchin between Gilui Milse and between Limud. When you read an article, when you read a sefer, when you hear a shir, you've got to be able to ask yourself, was there a chidush? If there wasn't a chidush, you've learned nothing. That's either a chisorin in the shir or it's a chisorin in you. Either there wasn't a chidush in the shir, or you were unable to perceive the chidush. But the fact is, you've learned nothing. Either new ideas which you didn't know before, good. So they knew ideas, but the ideas, there's no chidush in that. That's not called limud. That's called Gilui Milse. So he was megala to me things which I didn't know before. Fine. That's why I told you the story, I think, of, I don't remember who, it was Reb Chaim, who was asked a shaila, a very difficult shaila, and he worked on it and worked and worked and he just couldn't work it out. And eventually the person asked the shaila went to another town and came back to Brisk many years later, and he reminded Reb Chaim about the shaila, and he said to Reb Chaim, I'll tell you the answer. And this young man told Reb Chaim the answer, and Reb Chaim went out of his mind. It was brilliant. And he said, how did you work it out? I've been battling with it for 2 years, I haven't worked it out. So he said, no, I went to some town, I forget the name of the town, there was a Rav there. So I went into Shalom Aleichem to the Rav. When I was there, I asked him, and he told me the answer. Reb Chaim couldn't believe this. And he took his coat and his stick, and he got into the wagon, and off he went to see this Rav that he had to see him. And he comes to this Rav, Shalom Aleichem. The Rav is very honored that Reb Chaim's come. Reb Chaim's only too thrilled to meet such a Talmid Chochem. And eventually they sit down, they start talking, and the Rav asks for the reason of Reb Chaim's visit, and he says, I've come to find out from you how you learned through that sugya. How did you get to that conclusion? And he says, it was very simple. He says, it took me 24 hours. I heard the shaila. I didn't know the answer. The young man needed an answer. I was mispallel that the Rebbeinu Shem should help me. And that night, I dreamt the answer, and I came the next morning and checked it through, and it was taki good. And I told the young man. Chaim said, in that case, I don't have to show you any particular COVID. Give me back my coat and my hat. Shalom Aleichem. And out he went. He says, Torah is for Omel, not for Gilui Milse. That's Gilui Milse. There's nothing to respect in Gilui Milse. So somebody told you something that he didn't tell me, though. Big deal. That's not called Limud HaTorah. I came to find out how you reasoned it. What you answered is that you didn't reason. You chapped it from a malach. Oh, fine. That didn't impress Reb Chaim at all. In the light of the Chazalish we did this morning, we understand. By the Chassidim, that would be a big thing. Hagili, Eliyahu came to him in a dream, the Chamalach, Ruchnius. Reb Chaim, it's nothing. Much more Ruchnius in somebody who for 2 years couldn't work out the answer than in somebody who overnight could. That's Gilui Milse. There's no other Gemara. Gilui Milse is simply telling you, we don't know. Does Negicha mean Keren or doesn't it mean Keren? I'm missing a piece of information. There's no limud. There's no analysis. There's no understanding. I simply need to know the translation of the word Negicha. Does Negicha mean Bekeren or doesn't it mean Bekeren? So you bring me a pasuk that tells me the translation. It's like looking up gesture. That's why I have no objection to using gesture. It's not a mefarish. It's not a limud, it doesn't teach you anything. It's not a Gilui Milse B'Almi. It tells you a word, it gives you other places in Shas where that same word exists, and through understanding its context, it tells you what it must mean, and you're free to agree with it or disagree. It's a Gilui Milse, that's all. It's a Gilui Milse B'Almi. There's no problem with it, although he wasn't a Talmid Chacham, it wasn't a Chum Talmid Chacham. Says Rashi, Divrei Kabbalah is Nevi'im and Ksuvim. That means Tanakh. That's a kasha. There's no new chiyuv that we didn't know before, a new ptur that we didn't know before. There's no chidush in the limud. You're not coming out with a new concept. It's a gilui milse that anywhere where it says negicha, that means bekerin. And that you can learn from Tanakh, that you can learn from anywhere. It makes no difference where you learn that from. The Torah, so it comes back the kasha. What then is the reason for the second pasuk from Chumash? If we've got the pasuk from Elohim, now the same keep paragraph on the ben tam lemuad. Ani mini bitulusho. I might have thought that the distinction between tam and muad applies only bitulusho, only if the animal takes a sharp object in its mouth and causes damage with a sharp object, with something which is tolish, which is plucked. But if he uses his own body, his horns, he might have thought that it's all mu'ad. Only in the unusual case of an animal taking an implement and damaging with the implement, that's when we say the first two times it happens, you can't be held responsible, only chatzi nezik. But once it has happened, more than that, you become chayiv nezik shalem. However, I might have thought that if the animal uses his own horns, since his horns were given for negicha, he should be considered a mu'ad from the beginning, just as he is with shein and regel. Toshma b'choshir adoloi, so it comes to teach us b'choshir adoloi, know that even b'mechuberes, there is still the same distinction between tam and mu'ad. Now we don't have a kash anymore, why do we need the first posuk? The first posuk comes to teach us that even that b'tolosh, the same thing applies. That he's a tam, that he's a tam the first of time, and then he becomes a mu'ad.
Then
because that's the first thing is if the first thing you ask on is the shitoscha. The brayser comes and says the posuk is A and furthermore B. Good. A will still end up, but what the furthermore? Why do you need B? Let's cut B out. Then I'll ask you, what do you learn from A? But if the first thing is an analysis of the lotion of the brayser, poshut the ve'omer, the word ve'omer. Ve'omer implies that whether I could learn it all from B or not, it implies that the primary posuk is A, and I need B. So what is the primary posuk is A, is to teach you that the din of Kerion applies not only to its own Kerion, but to anything. Once I know that, I now need posuk B to tell me that it doesn't only apply to Tolusho, but it applies also to Tolusho, it applies also to Mechuba. He says, Rashi, it's the mode is same, this is why I need Omer. For what might I have said? I might have thought this is only by Tolusho, like the horns of Kana of Tzidkiyo ben Kanano, and I would have thought that's why that pasuk is brought, to teach us that the din of Negicha applies by Kerem Tolush. For example, an animal who held a keren between its teeth and gold, there's certainly, I would say, a tam doesn't pay kulin ezek, because this is very abnormal for an ox to do such a thing. You can't expect a bailim to take measures against a meshugan ox, but if it used its own horns to go, that's not meshugan, it's simply using his body for what it was given to him. But in the case of Mechuberes, which is Urche, it's normal. I might have thought he's going to pay Nezek Sholim. So it comes to teach us that even in Kanareim the word Negiche is used. So we see that Mechuberes is also Negiche. And where the Torah distinguishes between Tam and Mu'ad, is even with Stam Keren, even with an ordinary case of Keren. Now that we know the source and the origin of Keren, Toldo de Keren, Mayhi, asked the Gemara, what then is the Toldo of Keren? Answers the Gemara, Negifo, Neshicho, Revitzo, Vita, four Toldos. Negifo means shoving with the body, Neshicho is biting, Revitzo is crouching on something, uveito, and uveito is kicking. Kicking is not regular, it is keren. Says Rashi, negifo shedochfo begufo, shedochfo begufo, behiziko bekavono. That she pushed with her body and damaged intentionally. Revitzo, sheroso kelim bederech, she saw kelim on the way. And she went to sit on them with the intention of breaking it. An aggressive animal. This big ox sees a whole lot of a valuable crystal and china and wants to smash it, so she doesn't want to do it with her feet, so she sits on it.
Be'ita shebo'oto b'raglo v'shibro z'akelim. She kicked with her feet and broke the kelim. V'ahachia b'toldo the kerin, and the reason that these are toldo the kerin,
because the kavonosun lahazik kikerin, Number one, in order to make them a tilde, there must be kavona lahazik. There must be intention to damage. Ve'en hano le'ezeka. And there's no benefit to the animal in the damage. Ki keren, just like keren. That's what the Ribbono Shel Olam gave the animal a keren for. If you analyze the nature of the keren, it is something which has to be used intentionally. In the animal's normal movements, keren doesn't damage. If you look at it, all the animals with karnayim, you'll see that they're out of the way. The animal has to lower its head into a most unusual position in order to make his horns effective. Why did the Ribbono Shel Olam make that? Because that's the nature of the nezek of keren. So we're analyzing, that's why we use the word keren, because, and not just negicha, because from the structure of the keren, we can analyze the nature of the avnezek of keren. What does keren really mean? One has to go to the game reserve to understand this gemara. You see, the keren is out of the way, so there has to be kavon lahazik. He's got to want to damage before he damages. That's the nature of keren. That's number one. Ve'en hezeko motzei tadir, and it's not very, you don't find it happening very often. You can go to the game reserve very frequently. It's not that often that you come across, how many rams do you see? Thousands. Impalas and kudus and buffalos and elephants, all sorts of individuals with karnayim. And very seldom do you see them going. It's not darko. They don't normally do it. Not elephants, what? They call them tusks, but it's the same thing. No, don't you then? Have you never seen an elephant with tusks?
No.
What do you think they are? Teeth? What did the Ribbono Shel Olam give them to him for? For what purpose? Apart from the smugglers, yeah? For what purpose did the Ribbono Shel Olam give the elephant a tusk? You mustn't just agree with me, because then they'll say outside that I brainwash people. Use your own seichel, analyze, and tell me for what reason the Ribbono Shel Olam give the elephant tusks.
It's a keren.
And that's why this is like keren. That any time it hasn't been warned and bathed in three times, bekach, for this, what does bekach mean? What does Rashi mean bekach? It should say the Lord who had bevezin gimel pelvim. Einam shalem is nezik sholem. What's bekach? For each tolda. We must say that Rashi means that you've got to be. It's going to be a muad for that particular tolda. It's not sufficient to be muad for another tolda. That doesn't make you muad for this tolda or tolda for the other.
Three times.
That's not going to make him a muad. If he's once he was roibetz and one he was nogef and once he was nogeach, that's not going to make him. It's got to be bekach. He's got to have three times in that particular toldo. Then it will be. Then he'll become a muad.
Can't say that he's a damaging animal.
No, that you see, you know, that's not sufficient. You've got to, since it's an enadarka bekach, it doesn't create a chazoka until he's doing it in that particular way. That one says the chazoka is damaging, good, that he's damaging, but not all. All in that particular tolda. That's what you're saying is good, right? Stanley's asking very good. What's the swara? The purpose of muad is to show us that you've got to watch out for this fellow. So let's take the common denominator of all keren and say, once he was roivetz, and once he was negef. So what does that show? That this fellow is developing a tendency to be mechavin lahazik in a way from which he gets no hano, and although it's not normally tadir, this one's getting into the habit. So why doesn't that give a chazoka for keren? Well, whatever tilde. It's a very good kash. I don't know the answer to it. You see, it's in terms of Sfora. The Sfora is like Stanley says, not like Rashi says. Rashi, no, he's got to be negev three times, he's got to be doichev three times, he's got to be revet three times before he can become a muad.
Is it mashma then that the shnira, that the baal has to do on it, is also specific?
Yes, it is mashma that.
I'm saying that because, so therefore, you can't say that the baal's chiyuv is to be shomer his animal.
No.
His chiyuv is maybe to put something on the horns or to do.
Yeah, right. Like if he was a roivetz three times, if he was a roivetz three times, yeah, that's why he's going to do what he needs to for that thing, which was muad. The next day he starts, he's put something on his horns or cut his horns off, and then he starts being bayed, he starts kicking. You can't say, you know this fellow is an aggressive. But Lichoristan is right. You do know he's aggressive. You do know he's aggressive. Why aren't you chayev to watch his aggression? So it's interesting to see that according to Rashi, the Torah holds that an animal's aggression is not a primary force over there. It's tied to the particular part of the body that he uses.
Maybe it's tied to the shmirah. Because if the shmirah is different, then it's irrelevant that you've been warned for Karen, because you will have looked after Karen and you will have cut off his horns, as Andrew said.
Yeah, but the child is, why aren't you expected to look after all forms of aggressive behavior? Your ox has now shown himself, b'chazoka, to be an animal that acts aggressively. So you've got to now keep him chained. Finished? But we see now, you don't need to.
Because it's much better, you know, they know that this animal's a kicker, or this animal's a gorer, whatever it is. But it's much maybe that the psychology of an animal is that
yeah,
an aggressive animal.
It's using a particular part of his, that's clearly how Rashi will be learning, but we have to understand that. That's what Rashi says. Let's go further. Is Rashi implying that how many times does he get, when does he become word? On his third time or on his fourth time? He doesn't say after 3 days. The Cholem is the Luad. Who it has. Who had been bathed in three times is not a Nogah. What is that, Mashman? Not necessarily the fourth time. Until he has been, so you want to say, once he did it, he was who had bathed in. Second time he did it, he was who had bathed in. Now the third time he does it, when he does it, he has not yet been who had bathed in. So it's Mashman is going to do it three times. I don't know, but here Rashi says three times. But on the third, on the fourth time.
On the fourth time,
on the fourth time.
The Torah, it seems to be much more the third time. If it had done it yesterday and the day before.
Much more twice before.
Right.
Yeah, okay, but Rashi says it's three times. So we've got to go further and see. That's why one has to get into the Gemara a little bit before we know what's doing. Back in the Gemara, ask the Gemara. Umayishna Gabi, and they ask the Gemara. Umayishna Negicha the Kari Le'av. Why is Negicha called an Av? Diksiv Ki Yigach, because the term Ki Yigach is mentioned in the Pasuk. Negicha Nami Ksiv Ki Yigoyv. Doesn't it also say Ki Yigoyv? Answers the Gemara. Hai Negicha Negicha. That word negifa in the Torah does not mean shav with its body. That word negifa means go with its horn. So you would have translated exactly the same as negifa. The Tanya, before we've learned the Brisa, Pesach b'negifa v'siyim b'negifa. The Torah opens up with negifa and ends up with negifa. Lo yimelecho to teach you, zuhi negifa, zuhi negifa. That there is no difference between the word negifa and negifa. Says Rashi. And since Negifa is written, let it also be an Av. What's Rashi saying here? He's not saying that, and therefore you see that what's written in the Torah is not the criteria of whether it's an Av or not. No, we're accepting that as axiomatic. Av means anything written in the Torah. Aye, Negifa is also written, so let Negifa also be an Av. This is not pushing with the body. Why then not learn it the other way around, asks Rashi. Let us say that Negifa is the Av, and Negicha means Negifa. Now all we can see from this Brisa is the equation of Negifa with Negicha. But which one is the Av? We don't know. So let's say Negifa means literally pushing with the body, and Negicha means that too. That we can't say. Because that was the first brisa teaching us that negich is bekerin. That's why we now understand the need for that original brisa. When the Gemara asked bekerin, kerin minalon, that's what the Gemara was asking. There is an ambiguity in the pasuk. The pasuk uses the word negifa and negicha. We have a brisa which says zui negifa, zui negicha. So the word negicha might mean kerin. And the negifa equals keren too, or the negifa might mean with a body, and the negifa will equal the negifa. So where are we going to find a hechrech? That we find from the psukim of the first brisa, from Melachim and from Dvorim, that ein negifa ela bekeren. That negifa means that means the keren dafke.
The
pshat
of Rashi in the pasuk on negifa is not dafke just pushing with the body, but he includes all the toldos.
In the pasuk on the Chumash,
which is mashma that when he's talking about negicha being with a keren, he's not talking about in its capacity only to bore, but perhaps he's talking about in its capacity to be an av for the four tolkers.
What are you asking? Let's have a look at the Rashi in the Chumash. What, Andrew, on the chiyuga? V'chi yigo shor ish shor reyu v'omeis, says Rashi. V'chi yigo yid chayv ben bekanav ben begufa ben shenosh v'beshinav filon v'chlan negif v'hem she'en negif v'el loshon makav. Yigif, he says, Yidchif. Yigif means push. Ben Bekarnov, Ben Begufo, Ben Shinoshu Beshinov. Whether he pushes him with his horns, his body, or with his teeth. Kulan Bechlan Negifahim, that's all kind of Negifa. She'en Negifa Ela, or Ben Shinoshu Beshinov, or he bit him with his teeth. Kulan Bechlan Negifa, that's all Negifa. She'en Negifa Ela Loshen Mako. Because the word negifa means mako. So Rashi learns on the Chumash that included in the kiyigov, except beita. Well, no, beita too. All the toldos. Whereas the Gemara held that negifa is negicha, and all the toldos are not from the pasuk at all.
Unless my only way of understanding that was to say that when Gemara says that negicha is negifa, when it says negifa is negicha, it means not negicha as the action, but negicha as the out, including the three toldos.
I don't think so.
That is in its capacity to generate the toldos.
I don't think so. Rashi is difficult. How Rashi is learning the Chumash is difficult. It's interesting. It's possible that according to Rashi's Havamina, if Tildos say a lav ki yitzibu, maybe these wouldn't be Tildos. Maybe these wouldn't be Tildos, but that will still come to. I don't understand this Rashi in the full Mishnah. Answers the Gemara. Ask the Gemara. Maishlo gabi odom dichtiv ki yigach. The maishlo gabi beime dichtiv ki yigach. Why then, if it means the same thing, why does the Torah use the word negicha by odom and the word negifa by shor? By beime. Answers the Gemara. Odom the islay mazluk siv ki yigach. Beime the leste mazluk siv ki yigach. A human being has mazel, so it uses the word kiyigach. An animal doesn't have mazel, so it uses the word kiyigach. Yes.
So The one answer is that it's interchangeable.
Yeah, that's the answer, it's interchangeable.
The second one is that, so then why is there not community by the other one?
So now ask the Gemara, if it's interchangeable, but still there must be a reason why the Gemara sometimes uses the one and the other. In Behemah itself, it uses the two to teach you that they're interchangeable. But now that we know that they're interchangeable, why does it use Ki Yigaf by Odom and Ki Yigaf by Shur? That's the kasha of the Gemara. David, did you bring this Gemara in your wedding speech? Did you speak about Mazel? You didn't bring this Gemara. Gabi Odom, Kishya Shoyim Nogov Odom, Ksiv Kiyigaf, says Rashi. By a human being, where an ox is Nogiach, a man, it says Kiyigaf, Shoyim is Ish. Gabi Nagicha Shoyim Beshoy, Ksiv Kiyigaf, Shoyim Ish, Shoyim Re'eu. Answer the Gemara Odom, the Islay Mazla. What does that mean? Sheyesh Loidas Lishmeres Gufay. So Rashi is going to have two ways of learning this. The one way of learning it is that Mazel means common sense. That's what, when we talk about a person who's got mazel, that means he's got common sense. It's a lovely way to learn mazel, a raya from Rashi, that because we hold it in mazel Yisrael, we don't operate with mazel. So what does it mean? A person has mazel. But das, he's got an intuition of self-protection. No, no, it doesn't seem so. It's more than instinct, you realize. Instinct helps to avoid damage. But it doesn't help to flee from damage. It doesn't help to evade damage. There's a difference between avoiding and evading. Avoiding tax, even an animal can do, but to evade tax, you've got to be a. That's already a distinction in human beings. The person knows to evade, to avoid is an animal instinct. So you see that danger, you avoid it. That's an animal thing. But to evade something that is pursuing you, that's a human instinct. That's a different thing altogether. Ksiv ki yigach devadai niskavin hashor lahara. Ki yigach implies not just general aggression, but an aggression, a kavona to do bad. So one sees mischievousness in the animal. Never mind just kavona lahazik. There's a difference between kavona lahazik and kavona lahara. All karen has kavona lahazik. Kavona lahazik is to cause damage, but kavona lahara is to cause harm. What's the difference between harm and damage? Yeah, you're right, Michael. To cause damage is the ox feels threatened, and because of that, he wants to get you out of the way. So he like human beings as well. Somebody breaks into your home, so you shoot him in the leg. Look, that's kavona lahazik. You want to be mazikim. Obviously, you want to be mazikim. But it's not kavona lahara. He was the one who's doing you. Your kavona is self-protection. But if you go searching somebody out and finding him and shooting him in his own territory, that's not just kavon lahazik, that's kavon lahara. So in the shor itself, there are two kinds of negicha, Rashi's machadish. There's a kavon lahazik and there's a kavon lahara. Sometimes you find an animal who just wants to cause damage, so you should get the message that you're not welcome. But there's something else, there's a kavon lahara, he really wants to hurt you. Even if you're willing to run, he won't leave you alone. He wants to do you in properly. That's a different kind of kavon. Sometimes you find in the game reserve also, you'll find an animal will. You'll get an elephant gets angry sometimes close and he starts flapping his ears and he pushes his leg a little bit and you go scooting off and he has a good laugh afterwards. But sometimes he doesn't do that at all. I've seen an elephant come up to a car and give it a tap and flap his ears and wave his trunk and wait for everybody to climb out of the car and get into the car behind and then flatten the car. What is he after? Kavona lahara. That's why he wants to destroy the car. That's it. Whether it's damage or not, it's a different kind of sucker, a different kind of... He waited for them to get out, didn't touch them. Waited for them to get out and then he flattened it. Kavona lahara.
I'm
And he comes with Kach. Now, how do you distinguish? How do you decide whether the Yishur is Kavanah Lahazik or Kavanah Lahara? Says Rashi, by the amount of force which is used. If he's using just enough force to communicate to you that you're an unwanted guest, that's Kavanah Lahazik. Then he's telling you that if you stick around, I'm going to damage you, I'm going to hurt you. But if he really uses more Kach than is needed for that, that's Kavanah Lahara. But Nagifa implies, what is Nagifa? I found him standing, the ox found him standing, he gives him a shove with his horns to move him out of the way, you're not supposed to be here. But he doesn't want to hurt you, he doesn't want to do you in, he just wants you to get out of the way. When a parent gives a child a hiding, is that Kavon al-Hazik? Yes, sure it is. Sure it is, just not Kavon al-Hara. When a parent is frustrated and takes his frustrations out of his child, that's Kavanah Lahara. It's too much force. If you're trying to communicate, you're using too much force for that communication. That's Kavanah Lahara. It's not Kavanah Lahazik. Lishna Achrida. There's another meaning of mazel. Isle mazle ve'enoy noyach lahamisui b'negife. D'hidchifas keren mat. The human being has mazel in a metaphysical sense. And he doesn't die that easily. With a little negifa implies a light shove that doesn't kill people. And the Gilon Hashas refers you to a Rashi in Shabbos, and there Rashi talks about the malachim that protect people. People have a form of protection which saves them from things that animals don't get saved from that easily. That's Kirin Baguf. And with the forcing the horn into the body, the human being will die. But from a shav he won't. Whereas an animal apparently can die from a... An animal is a lot more delicate than the human being. The human being has special shmiru.
So there's actually the word
gifah
is in fact a
shav. Yes. Which Rashi, that makes that Rashi even harder, doesn't it? The Russian thing. Yes, a batting would be a good word. Right. Piercing him with the horn. Yeah. I suppose that is so that animals are more delicate than human beings. One would expect it to be the other way around. According to Darwin, it should be the other way around. Animals are strong in middle of mice, so they're not. Human beings are far more adaptable. In times of famine and so on, animals die much more than human beings do. Sudden changes in temperature, animals die much more than human beings. They get ill much more than human beings do. Our ratio, one of the reasons that there's a shortage of meat at the moment is that with the turn in the weather, it's difficult to find a kosher animal. The animals have all got lung problems. Sorry? Good, but that's part of the human being shmira, his ability. That probably is the first loshon more. His more of his das. But that might be wrong. Then the animal is his own. He's got a permanent thick coat. Or he has a malach. The human being has a metaphysical protective force.
Yeah, but for some of
the human race
that maybe
are
closer to being more physical.
Careful, you're watching. I mean, more malachim they appear to have. Unlikely, isn't it?
Maybe they don't have malachim, so they've got to build up a lot of...
And through this is not just to teach us Kabbalah, but this is to teach us an afkimina lahalocha. As a result of this, we can draw a halachic conclusion. That if an animal has become mu'ad for an odom, he is mu'ad for a behemoth, because it is easier to gore an animal than a human being. So if he's already gored a human being three times, he's certainly going to be capable of goring an animal. But if he's hurt an animal, that doesn't mean he's going to hurt a human being. Either the reason he won't hurt the human being is because of the human being's ability to escape. We know he's an aggressive ox. He's killed 3 oxen already. Says Rashi, you still don't have to protect him from human beings. So it's enough now to keep other oxen out of his way. But if there are people walking around, you don't have to worry. Isn't that dangerous? You know, he's an aggressive animal. So you should know, because human beings have mazel. But that means we're putting the onus on the human being to be shomer himself. That's part of life. We accept, I don't have to take measures to keep my dog away from people who don't know how to look after themselves. I only have to take measures to keep my dog away from people who, even if they look after themselves, will still get it on the head from the dog. That seems to be the thing, that the human being is expected, and the balabos does not have to protect his animal from any from being able to harm a human being without das or without muzzle. Is any nezik?
According to the second Rashi, then if it was nekicha without killing, wouldn't that be
today you want to say that a muad l'behema is a muad l'olam, because it's as easy for a human being to be hurt as it is for an animal to be hurt. It's only to be killed that it's different. And if he's a muad, if he damages the human being but doesn't kill him after he's done it 3 times to an ox, that should be considered a mu'ah. That's an interesting thing. And the Khari is, it's a very interesting honor. The Khari is a certain Akhmina. The Sheikha told the Shani. Sorry, Vagavruche Kamashman and Rashi. Vagavruche Kamashman Kro. Me the Tola Negicha Be'odom and Negicha Be'vehema. Since the Torah makes negicha dependent on Odom and negifa on behema, the mashma neichol hu habehema lomus min ha'odom, which implies that an animal, again we see that here, Eric, lomus, that it's easier for an animal to die than for a human being. Mashmi einu, that teaches us, sorry, the shoyer hamuad la'arugis habehema gimel pomim loichoshiv ha'ador legabi odom. If after going an animal 3 times he then goes a human being, he's still a tam. By a tam, if he kills a human being, the ox gets stoned, but the bailim is free. And by a mood it says, and the owner shall be killed too. And that death doesn't mean death by killing, but death by money. Shemeshalim is akrifer demei neherag liyoshim, that he has to repay the yoshim of the dead person, the demei kofer. V'loy misa mamesh, and it doesn't mean capital punishment. Daminim b'ferikama de Sanhedrin, for we learn in perikama of Sanhedrin, arutzichosi ato hirgu v'yato hirgu arutzichas shiroi. You kill a person for his own act of murder, not for his ox's act of murder. But the other way around, if he's a muad for Odom, he's certainly a muad for behema. Muad la'arugis Odom, mishkachas la'hakin, you have a muad la'arugis Odom. As soon as he kills a man, he's going to be killed himself. Nevertheless, b'shaloi omad bedin, if he has not yet been omad bedin, ad shenogach sholosh pomim, even though he's done it 3 times, either he's not a muad. Rashi said, huad bevezdin, he's going to be huad bevezdin. So we see from here now, that huad bevezdin is lav dafke. If he's done it 3 times, and we have Eidus that he's done it 3 times, even though the Shur himself has not yet come to Beis Din to get a Din Skira, that hasn't been paskined yet, but we know for sure, we've been Mekabel Eidus that it's happened, then Rashi says in Chumash that Huad is from Loshon Eidus, didn't he? Did Rashi say in Chumash that Huad is from Loshon Eidus? Implies that all you need is that the evidence is led in Beis Din, not that the Bailim has to be warned. Some learn that Huad is from, like Hasoi, must be warned. Rashi says, who are this from Loshon Eidus? If evidence has been led in Beis Din that the event has occurred 3 times, even though the ox has not yet been passed in the skila, he becomes a muad nevertheless. He wasn't stoned as soon as he killed the first person.
Why do we actually need that? Can't he poke 2 and kill 1? In other words, damage twice, not kill twice.
No, it seems he wouldn't be a muad then for that. Since he probably wouldn't be a word yet, he's killing.
So
he's hurt people with it twice. So altogether, this ties. Muad l'odom. The only time it's difficult is l'odom. To get a shot, muad l'odom is very difficult.
Yeah. He's damaged twice. Which, okay, so the damage is being paid in his third time. Third time, let's say he kills on the third time.
Human beings you're talking about?
Yes, human beings. Okay, so if you kill them a third time, having damaged twice before, there's a big enough commitment whether there's a proliferation.
No, but according to Eric's theory, the damaging the man two times will not make him a muad for killing.
Puts him in ICU three times and the Baal still doesn't have to pay if he does
it. Yeah, it would not make him yet, according to Eric's theory, it wouldn't, because Noach lay Lodom, because the Odom has.
That he just didn't manage to kill the man.
Not that he didn't manage, because it was because the man has mazel. It's not just because he didn't manage. And if the man has mazel, he'll probably have mazel the third time as well. The Baalim is entitled to assume that he'll have mazel the third time too. That again, it emphasizes that heora, which is a very strange deal. But Lefora Eric's right that if that's the basis of the whole thing, then that's only by killing. But the whole thing only works by killing. That could happen all three sets of Adim. But before Beis Din had a chance to Paskin go for skill. Then it wouldn't say Shaloi Gomar Dino, then it would say. And what does Rashi use in the Loshon of Shaloi Gomar Dino, doesn't it say? Shaloi Omad Bedin, Ad Shinogat Sholish Gomin. He's not Omad Bedin yet, not Shaloi Gomar Dino. It hasn't even been Oymed Bedin yet. The shore has not yet been Oymed Bedin. Mashmi, if he was Oymed Bedin, although then the Rashi goes on to say, Shaloi Niskal Miyad, Kishahimis Harishon, therefore he wasn't Niskal Miyad. What would happen if between Hamod Ledin and Skila? What would be then? In other words, what makes him. If there was Hamod Ledin, but he hasn't yet been Niskal. So Mashmi from Rashi that then. Mashmi from Rashi then he would be. Then he would be Kenzai. But he said, Hasro Va'edim. Hasro Va'edim. That's interesting. Hasro Va'edim makes it harder. If there's got to be Hasro, then Mu'ad means that there's got to be Hasro, not only that the Edim, but Beis Din warns him after receiving the Edim. Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
It's not mashma that way. It's not. We might be forced into something like that, but it's not. Let's first try and take it kipshuto. And kipshuto, the whole thing is based on the fact that a human being is not noach lomus. Mashma, but he is noach to be damaged. There's no difference between the damage between a human being and him. Certainly in the second pshat. In the first pshat, maybe a man knows how to escape damage. But in the second pshat, it's got nothing to do with his seichel. So it's got to do with his shmira. And if a gore pierces him with a horn, he's going to get hurt. Just like an animal will get hurt. Whether he'll survive that negicha, that depends on his shmira. We don't know. All we're saying is that the whole basis seems to revolve around misa, which would appear to imply that damaging will not make him a muad for misa. Will make him a muad for damage, but not for misa. But either to be chidush, no? And we'll have to see whether to be. We don't know whether to be chidush or not because we don't have enough Gemara yet. Let us go a little bit further before we stop. Ask the Gemara. Neshicha told the sheni. Neshicha surely is a told the shein. Look, shein yesh hano lezeiko, in hano lezeiko. In shein, he has the pleasure. The essence of shein is that he benefits from his damage, and if he bites, he doesn't benefit from the damage. Ravitzu veita told the regularly. Crouching and kicking is surely told to the regel. Loi regel is eken motzi, hani ein is eken motzi. Regel is eken motzi, this is not eken motzi. So we've had now a definition of the nature of each of these ovis and toldis, and we must conclude that are told the same, lavki yitzibim domer rapope, and therefore the toldis not being like the ovis, which rapope said, can't be referring to kerem, and therefore ahe, on what does it go? Ilema ahani.
If we're going to say it's on these of Keren, Maishno Keren, the Kavonosi, Lahazi, Kuma Moincho, Shmiroso Lecho. What is the difference in the case of Keren, the Avnezek? There's a Kavon, Lahazik, and Mamoincho, Shmiroso Yolecho. It is your money, and you have to guard it. So there is the general requirement of Nezek, plus the specific of Kavonosi, Lahazik. And therefore the Toldos are exactly the same as the Ovis. The only difference is that the Av is written in the Torah and the Toldo is not. El Toldo the Kerim Kekerim. And we must therefore conclude the Toldo Kekerim is Kekerim. Says Rashi, Regel is a Kamotsui. No, before that, Revitze Toldo the Regel he, the Aliadek Fifas Raglaim he Roivetzes, because she's Roivetzes through the folding of her legs. So the Gemara's Havamina is the toldos are physical. In other words, what part of the animal is used? And if you're using a... you're not looking at it conceptually, it's more like tumor we're trying to examine. And saying that if you use the regal, what is the av of regal is stamping over things. But anything secondary to that, using the regal in a secondary form of nezek, maybe that is a form of a toldo which is lav kiyotze bohen. No, says the Gemara, that's not what it is. We've got to go after the concept, not after the physical appearance. And the concept is kavanos ulhazik, and therefore it's identical, it's not different. Following the line that we've taken and the difference between the Ovis of Shabbos and the Ovis of Tumah. It says, Rashi, the Kerin, ho, Hilkach, Tulda, the Kahani, in Ezekan Motsui. Not before. Regel Ezekan Motsui, the whole show, he maleches. Wherever she goes, she walks. And if they are kelim, she will be doris. It is true that the nezek is not frequent. But the nezek is not frequent only because there's nothing under her feet. Not because she's not busy with a kind of activity which is capable of continuously causing nezek. And therefore these are told the kelim. The ein ezek and motzu. The ein hanol ezek. Ubishalem chatzin nezik kikerin. Maishna kerin de mechayev de ka. No, that's further on, isn't it? So, so this which Rav Papa said, v'chika amar Rav Papa ashein v'regel. The Gemara is going to proceed next week on the analysis of shein v'regel in the same way as it did kerin, to see if in shein v'regel we cannot perhaps find cases of Tildusei and Lav Kiyotze Bohem. We've only got to the bottom of Beis and with Beis. How far have you prepared? Who's gone? Who's done Gimel and Aleph already in preparation? I think maybe we should have a shiur on Thursday night as well. And just move this thing a little bit faster. Is there anybody who can't come on Thursday night? 5:30. Okay, so we'll have a shiur on Thursday night as well at 5:30. Those of you who've got chavrusas from the other shiur on Thursday, please tell them beforehand. And we'll carry on. And by Sunday, Emir Tzashem, I want to be at the bottom of Hayam Udalah.